I live and walk by the Spirit.
Galatians 5. So you live and walk in the Spirit. So how you do that is when you obey God. When you obey God, God sees your willingness and He gives you more grace. He gives you more ability to overcome. And so if you know of anything you've got to do, come out of the culture, change how you act, change how you talk, change how you dress, get out of those associations, begin to obey God, and God will fill you with the ability to obey Him. So walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means get up every day, preach the gospel to yourself. Jesus died for me. I've repented. I'm born again. I want to follow Him in holiness and obedience, and I got to endure. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. That will empower you to now serve God.
Preach to ourselves, you said? Preach to ourselves.
Yeah, meaning you don't have to say it out loud, but just get up in the morning and go, wow, God gave me another day.
Okay.
Christ came into the world and died for me. He shed His blood for me.
Remind ourselves.
Yeah. And here's the deal. If you preach the gospel to yourself every day, when you go to share it to somebody else, it flows
right
like water.
Point.
If you don't preach it for 6 months and somebody asks you, you go, they go, you don't even know it.
Right.
So let it dwell in you.
Yeah.
And then He had the second part. Where are you getting that stuff from? Where are you getting those temptations
the internet,
from? Phones, internet.
Oh, yeah.
You got to rip it out, pluck it out, cut it off, throw it away.
That's what I was...
Well, I guess my rebuttal to that would be, James says we get tempted by our own pleasures, own lusts.
Right.
How would I, like... I know God can give me a hate for that, but then how would I, like not delight in that stuff, I guess? I guess I just answered my own question, but it's like...
You have to lose it. You have to face that it's sinful. You have to cut it out, rip it out, and then God will change your heart and your mind about it, whether you're born again or not. I don't know. I sure see God moving in you. And what will happen is God will fill you with His knowledge and His power, and that's what grace is, to overcome those things. But here's the thing. If you hold on to them, God can't help you. He can't.
You have to surrender
and throw it to Him. So if part of that surrender is, I give up my iPhone, I'm getting a Trek phone. I got to use the internet for my job. I'm getting somebody software with accountability to help me. Other people can see what you go on for accountability, for help. You must take the desperate measures to get that sin out of your life, because it will destroy you. Satan loves to get things in the dark. What happens to things in the dark? They mold, they grow, they decay. Get it in the light of God's truth. Get accountability. Get biblical fellowship. I can promise you something. When was the last time you guys ever see eagles fly around?
Yeah.
You ever see eagles hanging around with pigeons?
No, not usually.
What do eagles hang around with?
Other eagles.
Eagles. You want to be an eagle of God, you got to find people of God that are walking in holiness and obedience. Because whatever people you're with, that's going to be your level you're going to attain to.
Yeah.
It's like these people that train for the Olympics. Man, I'm the fastest runner in my town. Next year, I'm the fastest runner in my town. Next year, I'm the fastest runner in my town. I go to the Olympics. The guy from the other country blows me away. Why? I've only been training against guys in my town. I needed better competition. You need godly men, godly influence to raise you up.
Right.
These people want pastors lower down.
It's so weird you say that, because part of the reason why we came here today was to fellowship with other believers.
You don't want this. Well, we're here. You just ran into us. We're here.
Well, that's why we stopped, because we felt convicted as we walked by. We just felt something say, you know what? This man's on to something.
Love that for about to interrupt you. I just want to say you're actually an answered prayer. You actually are. Because on my way here, I've been struggling with this stuff for so long. Now I'm desperately, I'm talking to God on the way, send somebody, put somebody in my way, something like that. It's actually an answer for
you. You would not believe, and my wife is a witness to this, she's the only person in the world. If I wrote a book and told you the stuff that God's done, people would say he's crazy, he's embellishing, and I don't write books and I don't sell them. He's doing that to make money. Not long ago, a lady's car was broke down. It's funny, just another story. Her hood was up. I saw her car. I thought, I want to go ask her if she needs help. She was sitting there like this. And I thought, she looks like she, down, looks like she was
overdosed.
Yeah, and our van, our gospel van I have gospel signs all over and everything, repent to Jesus. I'm sitting there working in a van with my wife, and all of a sudden, I said, I'm going to go help that lady over there. She might need help. This older lady comes walking up, and she's like almost in tears. And I said, ma'am, are you okay? She goes, I can't believe this. She goes, could you help me with my car? I said, yeah, I got a jumper box. We'll help you. She goes, I was just praying, God, send somebody to me. And she said, I looked up. There's your gospel van. Just pulled up. That happens over and over and over. I pull into a Walmart and say, honey, I think we should be here. 5 minutes, a guy walks up. He goes, wow, where'd you come from? I've been studying the Bible. Can you help me? We start talking about scriptures. God will use you if you're a willing vessel. I got nothing special. It's my Father that does it. He guides us. but we had to be willing to go and to do this. So yeah, strip it out, rip it out, get accountability, get in the word, and battle and fight. You're not going to win every battle, but the victory just has already been won by Christ. That's your encouragement. He's on the other side of the battlefield, right? So get this. I like to give this analogy. This is a battlefield. Jesus is on the other side. He's saying, I won the victory. Come over. That's our walk. What's in front of us is a minefield. You don't want to run through a minefield, do you? You know what God's word is?
This place is a minefield.
It's a map. It's a map.
God's word is a map that says, go left, go right, avoid every mine, and you walk right to Jesus. If you run through it on your own, what's going to happen?
Blow
up. So that's my encouragement. I think you're both on the right path as far as listening to the Spirit. That's where it all starts. That's what started with me. I got tired at 45 of running from the world, running from God, living for the world, trying to attain material things, and I said, I'm done. I'm going to follow Christ with all that I am. I didn't even know this is what I didn't plan this. I had no idea what was going to happen. And God said, I have a plan for you. Not out loud, but I have a plan for you. And I started studying the word and our life as we begin to obey and we begin to strip ourselves out and follow after Jesus Christ with all that we are. Our lives were transformed by the truth. This does not transform your life. This entertains your flesh. Did you know that? This does not transform your life. This entertains your flesh. It's not of God.
That's a good point. It's just so hard to get that message through to these people.
But you know what? Can I tell you something?
I was one of these people. I probably still am in a certain
sense. We just covered few. Don't be looking for a bunch of people that are going to believe like you believe what the word says. The Bible says few. You both know each other already.
Dude, that really resonated with me. I'm not going to lie. When you brought up the Noah, the eight, and then the two.
I could see it hit you. Don't be looking for a bunch of people. You know what this is? Fellowship idolatry. You know what fellowship idolatry is? I hear this all the time.
So where do you go to meet Christians then if you can't even come to a place like this?
Well,
you can't go to the churches.
Wait. I'll give you the recipe. Ready? Get godly and biblical in all your ways. Come here and stand on a sign and preach the gospel. And you'll meet people that you might turn into biblical.
That's why we go to college, yeah, because people.
You might meet people. See, we don't go looking for God's people. We go into the world looking for sheep. And the sheep.
So we don't go looking for God's
people. No, you go and preach the gospel.
So I've had it backwards the last 3 years. I've been going and looking. I'm looking for a good Christian woman to have a family with. I'm looking for the things that
I've heard something.
But I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, what you want to do is just serve God, preach the gospel, and if God has other believers for you, he'll bless you with them. But I have a question. If you both become biblical believers, you already know us. I'm happy to encourage you. Let's say you only knew each other. He falls away. I don't think it's going to happen. He falls away.
If he did.
You got to go, you know what? I'm on my own. You don't go, oh, man, because he fell away. Now I got nobody to hang out with. I guess I'm going back to evangelicalism. Then you're a hypocrite. You didn't really love God. You're not transformed. You've fallen back. You got to be like Noah. You got to stand and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I don't care if everybody in the world turns away, Lord. I'm not turning away. And everything you believe, I teach men this too. Nobody likes this, but it's true. Everything you believe, you don't believe it until what? You're ready to die for it.
I was saying something not too long ago. I made a video on TikTok about it. I had a saying, and I guess it's cliche, but it's true. It's once you're ready to, or you're ready to die for Christ, once you're ready to live for
him. So these doctrines, you guys could come out here and tie me to a tree and say, you got to recant to these or we're going to burn you. And I'd say, well, I don't really want to burn alive today, but for the glory of God, I'm ready. Start the fire because I ain't recanting. And my wife's probably going to videotape it to send to our other saints we know. They burned him up today to a crisp. He was praising God all the way until the flames got to his mouth, and I still saw his mouth moving. My wife says, I said, if they ever cut my tongue out, I'm going to keep writing in blood. This is what the Spirit of God does in you. And if you're willing to lose your life and come out of this, again, this doesn't transform your life. This is not what God called you to do. I've been preaching this. Ready? Jesus did not die so you could entertain yourself and live in the world to be happy. Jesus died to transform you so then you could go into the world and proclaim him and call other people out. And if my whole ministry for 20 years was to reach you too, I'm happy. I'm done. I'll keep preaching. But if that's all you're the only fruit I ever saw in my whole ministry. I'd say, Father, you were glorified. We were at the fireworks display in Rapids, and some guy came up to me yelling at me, and he goes, you need to shut up. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. You're not doing anything. And I said, God wants to hear my words. God says he's glorified when his word is lifted up. And I said, if you all turn away, I'm going to keep preaching. And he just went, because he thinks I'm there to please people.
Yeah.
I'm here to live for Christ. And if you hear and you like it, you may be my brothers. These people, they're not my brothers. Five guys today said, brother. And I said, if you're my brother, call me. Let's have unity. Let's walk in faith together. Then you're my brother. Till then, that's not my brother. Jesus said, who is? And they said, your mother and your brother at the door.
But
what?
Whoever does the will of God.
That's who your family is who's doing the will of God. Not your blood family, not your best friends that are worldly. Who's doing the will of God, Jesus said.
Very few people.
We covered that few.
But then I was going to say, it says, you won't make it to the kingdom of heaven, this Matthew 7:21, unless you do the will of my Father, but it's to believe, and to believe is full surrender.
Amen. Like this, there was a guy standing here, I can't remember if you were standing here, and he's like, oh man, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven no matter what. I said, don't say that. I said, you don't know the future. I said, the Bible says you must endure. And he talks about, oh, Jesus did it for me, man. I said, Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, you won't be forgiven. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, you are my friend if you keep my commandments. Do you see all these faith and works verses?
Yeah.
It's all over scripture. Mm. But evangelicalism has convinced people because they're drunk on grace. People are selfish. And what is a selfish person want?
Nothing but stuff for themselves.
I want to go to heaven. Please me, God. Jesus, watch this. Ready? I got Jesus. Get out of hell card. Remember Monopoly? Get out of hell card. I got him. They're not thinking, how can I die and live for him and preach and affect people? And how could I be a glorified, beautiful light and salt in the world for him? They're going, just take me to heaven, Lord. That's all I want.
Because people view what you're doing as something that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
When I first started street preaching, it was uncomfortable.
People hate
it. I just wasn't comfortable.
People hate it. You got to get out of your flesh. You got to get in the spirit. But
now
think about it.
Changed,
they killed Jesus. They killed Paul. They killed Peter. Why? Because they stood against the culture and lifted up their voice and they preached the truth of God.
But you know they were uncomfortable too doing what they did.
Oh, yeah.
But Pete, that's what I'm saying about what you were just saying about selfishness. Everybody wants to feel good.
Yep.
Nobody wants to be uncomfortable.
Flesh.
When you follow Jesus, you better believe that you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be out here doing things that you just don't quite feel.
I just told my wife this morning we were coming over here. People ask me all the time. Every time we go out to street preach, ready? I never want to do it. In my flesh.
Weird? It's like this little voice in our heads that says, don't do it. Stay
in my flesh. I never want to do it in my flesh. And I go, I got to go for the Lord. I know people are going to hate me. Who wants to be hated? Who wants the cops called on them? Who wants stuff to get thrown at them? I got guys curving off the road with their cars to hit and come at me. Who wants to do that in their flesh? I could be hunting and fishing the rest of my life.
Right.
Why would I be out doing this? And then you know what happens? Ready? This is beautiful. This will help you with your issues. I empty myself. I repent and I empty myself of all my flesh.
Is that like,
and I say, Father, fill me up. And by the time I walk to where we're going to street preach, the Spirit rises up and I begin to live out the gospel. And that's, I'm putting that flesh down and killing it, saying, Father, I don't want to do this in my flesh. And he goes, you're right. The flesh is at enmity with God. Let me kill that flesh and I'll fill you with the Spirit. And then you walk in it and you can do it. You can live it. You can overcome everything.
My bad. I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I guess, what?